Turn in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 8, verse 3. When I consider the heavens and the work of thy fingers, and the moon, the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Now notice he says, what is man? Then he says, what is the son of man? And the son of man that thou visitest him, for thou madest him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. This is speaking of Christ. And we want to look at this today, because he's not lower than the angels anymore. Amen? And neither are we. So go to Hebrews chapter 1. Actually, the first two chapters of Hebrews deals with our position, whether the Lord's position as it pertains to angels. The first two chapters are securing that position of authority. Very in-depth, mind you. So we're going to take a walk through these first two chapters. You'll understand fully the first two chapters of Hebrews by the time the day's over. Hebrews is actually a very, very deep book. Once you begin understanding, it is meat. I'm telling you, meat. But it's good meat. It'll get you in the right hand of God. It's designed to get you into the perfection of God. So let's just come back to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Good place to start. I've been in Hebrews. I can't get out of it. I'm in Hebrews this year like I was in John last year in the early part of this year. I want to write a book. I want to write two of them. One on the book of John and probably two of them on the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 1, verse 1. God at sundry times, diverse manners spake in times past unto us by the fathers and the prophets, speaking strictly and specifically of the Old Testament. They were the spokesperson for God. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. That's why you want to be careful that you get the revelation of the Son before you try to go back and get the revelation of the shadow. Because if you try to get the revelation of the shadow before the revelation of the Son, you'll find yourself falling back into a dispensation you were redeemed out of that did not produce the results God was looking for. You got to watch that, man. That spirit will come. It's awesome to explore the roots of our heritage, but you have to be very careful. That spirit's also there to try to drag you out, because that covenant and dispensation could never deliver you into the heavens. It fell short. The Levitical priesthood fell short in this one big thing. It can never deliver you into the right hand. It could not deliver you into the heavens. Couldn't then. It won't do it now, no matter who says it can. Amen. For in these last days is spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed. He's been appointed heir of all things. That's very, very good news. Because he appoints him heir in the right hand of the throne of God. By whom also he made the world, to being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. That's where he appointed him heir of all things. Right there when he sat him down. And actually Hebrews 10 says he forever sat down there, and he was appointed heir of all things and all things under his feet. Okay? Now let's get into the angels, where he stands, where they stand, and where we stand with the angels. You'd be quite amazed where you did stand and where you stand now. Amen? Hebrews 1 and 4, being made, look at this, so much better than the angels. This is talking about all the structure, the governmental structure of angels, all of them. They're angels, there's ranking among angels. Gabriel and Michael and Lucifer used to be an archangel. Those are the highest level. Cherubim, they had seraphim. In fact, Lucifer held the rank of a cherub. He said, you are the anointed cherub that covereth in Ezekiel 28. He had a very high rank with God before his fall. His tail drew a third of the angels with him. And they became demons. Those grotesque beings used to be very pretty. They used to be very beautiful, but they fell. And the law of sin and death corrupted them. And now those grotesque beings, you want to know what they look like? Just turn on TV. They like to show themselves. Because what they do is they paint a picture of themselves in the minds of those guys that give themselves over to that. And then they put that on the media. They love to see themselves on TV. If you want to see what they look like, just look at some of those guys, because that very real picture of what they look like. And they smell as bad as they look. They're awful. For being so much better than the angels, as he hath by an inheritance, listen to this, as he hath by an inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. He got it by inheritance. But unto which of the angels, now he's going to support this position with the angels. And this is real important, because once you find out his position, you're going to find your position. There's a lot of religions been started by visitation of an angel. Because they didn't give heed to the Son. An angel came and showed them another Christ. A lot of the ones you're contending with were delivered by angels. Some angels going to come tell you anything that's not recorded by the Son. You have a right to ask him to get out. Some of those fallen angels still look. They appear as angels of light. You can't tell they're fallen, but they're operating out of the second heaven. I'm really not here to talk about demons today, but I'm going over there because I'm going to show you something. Do you know the devil in Genesis? Yeah, I want to show you that. Go to Genesis 3 and I'll bring you back over to Hebrews. You need to see this because this is God's ultimate plan. He took the devil and all of those fallen angels from glory, because he was an anointed cherub that covered. He was in the highest position and took him to dust. He's going to take you from dust to glory. Amen. Took the angels. They had a higher estate than you did. They had a much higher estate than man originally occupied. But when God was through, he rearranged it and gave you an estate higher than them. He took him from glory to dust. He's taking you from dust to glory. His greatest punishment was that he fell from glory. And when he deceived man, God said, all right, then I'll bring man to a position you held. Even higher, I'll set him down in my right hand. Booyah. We could probably just go home with that one. Genesis 3:14, the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field, on thy belly thou shalt go. Now you don't really think he's just squirming around on his belly. Be hard to talk to Adam and Eve on the belly. And dust thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. Really saying, listen, he had a lot of power. He was an archangel. That one angel slew 185,000 Assyrians. Angels had a lot of power. He had a lot of it. And because man's fall, God had to confine him to an operation of dust, and he drove him into the dust in his operation so he could not at will destroy human beings on his own. He cannot come to you, no matter what he tells you, and says, I'm going to kill you. He can't do that without an agency to do so. He either has to have a curse, he has a sickness, a disease, or somebody to pull the trigger, but he cannot do that himself. He was confined to an operation of dust. He does it through the law of sin and death, and he does it through deception, but he cannot personally come and strike you down. He's been confined down to the dust. God took him to the dust. At the same time man had fallen to the dust, God set his plan in motion immediately to take man from dust to glory. Yeah. Booyah. And watch this, verse 15. And I'll put enmity between thee and the woman. He's talking about Christ. Between thy seed and her seed. There's a lot of doctrinal issues with that one. The people get it wrong. Boy, you can believe the doctrines that come out of that one. Like the seed of the devil was put into man, and the devil's had intercourse, you know, and there's these half-breed human demons walking around the earth. You got to watch that kind of stuff. If that was happening then, it'd be happening now. Demons do not procreate. Humans procreate. He said, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. What it's saying there is, listen, your seed's now in the earth, meaning the law of sin and death is entered into the human race. That was the seed that he just planted by the deception. And that law of sin and death began multiplying. Everybody was born into it. But I'm going to put enmity there because I'm going to raise another seed of the woman, and I'm going to bring in the brand new creation. When I bring him into the earth, when you're born again, you'll be translated out of that one into the kingdom. And I'll bring enmity between the two. There'll be a seed of the kingdom and the seed of fallen man. But that new seed, I'm bringing that seed to glory. Ooh. All right, go back to Hebrews. That was a little rabbit trail. That was a good rabbit trail. Now verse 5, he says, for which of the angels, now he's talking about the good angels here. I mean, we know the fallen ones where they are. They're in dust. Hey, when you were born again, you came out of dust. And you came out of dust and were raised to glory. Isn't that amazing? Took him from glory to dust, took you from dust to glory. Woo! Sat you in his right hand. Don't forget that. For unto which of the angels said he at a time, verse 5, thou art my son, this day I've begotten thee again, I'll be to him a father, he shall be to me a son. He goes, which of the angels will ever name the son? Wow. Very interesting. Listen to this. 1 John 3:1 says this. You don't have to go there. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Not one angel was ever named the sons. We are. Verse 6, and again, when he bringeth the first begotten into the world, he said, let all the angels of God worship him. Therefore, producing his rightful place of authority, they were to worship him because he was a higher rank. Amen. Verse 7, and the angels, he said, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers flames of fire. See, they were ministers, but he was the son. Again, supporting his position. Verse 8, but unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. The throne was the seat of his monarchy. He says, you're on the throne. Where do you think that throne is? The Son was placed upon the throne of the right hand of God with the scepter of power. The scepter, that was a kingly scepter of authority. Not once did the angels. Well, this has no relevance. It has a huge relevance because almost every single false religion is usually brought by an angel of light. It started. You know, the Mormons were all started. Joseph Smith had a visitation from an angel. Had he just read the first book of Hebrews, he could have told the guy, no, thank you. All of them. So many are sent by a fallen angel to produce another doctrine. See, God speaks through the Son. Always through the Son. The last revival we saw got all messed up because of angels. I mean, this stuff comes at high levels. We start operating in high levels. We understand where we fit and where we are and what we have. You'll never fall victim to that kind of stuff. Not ever. Amen? You don't, you will. He says, thou hast loved righteousness, verse 9, hated iniquity, therefore God, even thy God, is anointed with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. He sits in the right hand with the oil of gladness. That's when he said over in John 17, I pray that my joy might be fulfilled in you. That's the oil of gladness that's above thy fellows. He's sitting in the right hand, receiving the oil of gladness from the Father. And he says that my joy that I'm receiving the Father might now be fulfilled in you, because I'm going to set you right next to me. And what I have with him, you have with him. What he does for me, he'll do for you. Now, this is incredible, because he shares that place with us as joint heirs. The Father gave him the highest place in the known universe for all the kingdoms to come. As soon as these kingdoms are toppled, and it won't be very long before they are, for all eternity, he holds the very highest place. And guess what? He has shared it with you. You want to know how your authority and where your authority is designed and where you're going to sit? How far you went up into there in this life. If you never made it to the right hand, Inga, we're going to make it, amen? And not only are we going to make it in, we're going to explore the vastness. Even Paul, in the latter days of his life, writing the book of Philippians in the Tullian keep of Rome, he said, I forget those things that lie behind me. I press on. He knows he's at the end of his life. He's in the Tullian keep. He said, I press on for the mark of the high prize. For the prize of the high calling of God. And he's wanting to obtain the resurrection. He said, I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Do you know what he was wanting in the Tullian keep? He wanted to be resurrected right there. He wanted the blessing of Enoch and the blessing of Elijah to have your very body resurrected. They would not even see death. It'd be resurrected. He was so into the resurrection of the right hand. He was so caught up into the glory of the right hand. What are you going to do with Paul? If you turn him loose, he's going to run to the nations. So God just puts two chains on him so he goes up instead. Paul's going to go somewhere. That's just the nature of that boy that's in him, man. He just shut up. So he's chained. It was working the plan of God because his spirit was releasing into the right hand. And he was so into that resurrection. He said, I'm being conformed to your death on the earth, but I'm being alive in resurrection. And I want to obtain the fullness of that resurrection. This one, I've not obtained, but this one thing I do, I press on. Where is he pressing on? He's in chains. He's in the dung. He's pressing on into the right hand, the vastness of the right hand he was exploring, and he wanted to be caught up in the full resurrection. So why did he make it? I don't know. But if he went for it, I'm going for it. But I know your authority of the right hand depends on how far you go up into it. I'm like, Lord, at least the church should know that there is a right hand, that we have access. Oh, I'm telling you, folks, don't waste this message by doing nothing with it. Your future is in the right hand of God. Amen. Verse 13, but which of the angels, this is a very pivotal verse here, which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Now men have fallen victim to the doctrine of angels that God spoke to these men, you and I, to sit on the right hand. Why would we come down to a lower rank and receive a doctrine from a lower rank when God called us to sit? Not one angel was ever called to sit on the right hand, but you were. You weren't before you were born again, but when you were born again, God called you a son, and he asked you to come and sit on the right hand with Christ as a joint heir. Look at where your authority is now. Look at where it was and look where it is now. You are called to sit on the right hand. They will never be called to sit there. Do we know who we are? Raised together, made to sit together, if you then be risen with Christ. Seek those things that are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand. You are dead, your life is hidden with him in the right hand. Angels were never called and never will be called to that position. Not even Gabriel or Michael. Put that in your peace pipe and smoke it. Look at the honor that's been bestowed upon us. And how God so longs for us to come up into that place that he's prepared for us. We will not rule and reign with him until we sit with him there. Verse 14, are they not all ministering spirits that were sent forth to minister to them that shall be heirs of salvation? Look what he says there. They were sent to minister to you as an heir of salvation. Look where God has placed us. If you don't know that, you'll live far below it. Or if you do know it and you don't do anything with it, you'll live far below it. Guess what? They don't even engage until you're in your right place. If we want to engage the governmental structure of the angels, when we sit down, they release on our behalf. That's divine order. When we don't, they don't. Isn't that amazing? Hebrews 2 verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to preachers down here in Houston, Texas. I mean, I'm sorry, I didn't say that. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Didn't we talk about slippage earlier? You slippage will get you in the land of Nod. You're not allowed to go to the land of Nod during my service. Anytime we should let them slip. It's easy to let it slip. It's easy to know who you are. But it's more difficult to be positioned in who you are. We get out of position because we slip. We slip because we put something in front of him. We slip because we lose focus. We slip because we don't focus into who we are and we end up living below. When we live below, you're living as a mere man. Do you know that when you're a mere man, when you were a mere man, you were of lesser rank than angels? Verse 2, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast. Now, he's speaking specifically in the Old Testament here. Much of the revelation of the Old Testament was delivered to men by hand of angels. They were delivering. You'll read this. I'm going to show it to you real quick so you'll see. Go to Acts 7 real quick. We receive the gospel and the revelation by the Son. God speaking to the Son. He said, this is my beloved Son. Now hear him. If we knew what he said, we would be a lot further along. Amazing, somebody have a revelation that an angel came, told me, and said, you're going to have a revival in your city. And everybody goes, glory to God! Hallelujah! But the word all along said, the works that I do, you shall do also. Why is it we receive the word from a visitation more than what he said here? Acts 7, verse 38. I'm telling you, there's so many revivals that get neutralized by this kind of stuff. You got to watch it. That is coming. You know, my spiritual father, look, I'm aware that angels and men of God, things a lot of happen. When God starts doing things, there's a lot of angelic visitation. Peter had it, Paul had it. I'm very aware of angelic visitation. I'm very pro-angelic visitation, but I'm also very wary when things start rolling, other ones come. And that's the stuff you got to be very discernful. You can't just say everything comes down the pipe because it's a spiritual being standing in front of you that's glowing. It's telling you something that is God because you had a spiritual visitation. Those things are very real. Peter had conversations with them. Paul had it. I remember a spiritual father told me a story. He was real caught up. He'd been caught up for a long time. He started hearing the voices of angels singing. He said they would sing all day long. He said, man, that's just something else. And he thought, he decided he was just going to test that spirit. You know what he did? He asked them. He had a request. Because they kept singing. For 2 weeks straight, they were singing. Like 2 or 3 hours a day, they'd come and sing and hear him. He goes, all right. How many of you Johnny Cash guys in here? Raise your hand. He goes, all right, I got a request for you. Sing Burning Ring of Fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. He goes, you know what they did? They changed their tune and started singing Burning Ring of Fire. You know what he did? He says, no, thank you. As soon as he said it, it all stopped. That level of visitation will come when God's visitation comes. The enemy will visit at the same level, and we have to be discernful of it. But if we know what the Son says, and we're very entrenched in what the Son said, look, my position's in the right hand. By the time you're through today, you'll know your position in the right hand. No matter what angel comes and tells you, you're already seated above that authority structure anyway, so why would you put yourself in submission underneath it? That's the cause of all the false religions, most of them, probably 90% of them, receive the instruction of an angel and submitted themselves underneath a structure which they were raised above in the first place, but they didn't know they were raised above, so they submitted them, and the whole thing was born out of a false visitation. It's booyah. Oh, Acts 7:38. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai. See, Moses had a visitation from the angel, and he spoke to him and gave him the law. With our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us. Look at verse 53. Acts 7:38. And this is verse 53. You'll come to appreciate this stuff as we get going here, because the body of Christ is going to get cranked up in the last days. We don't want to fall victim to the last things. We're supposed to learn from that stuff, amen? Not repeat it. The spirit of sensationalism will come. If it can't get you to bark like a dog. Do you know that one did? That Toronto one? That thing was pure. But when it started coming out of flesh, flesh started manifesting and barking. Like dogs, howling, roaring, crowing, like chickens. See, the enemy wants to reduce the glory down because of uncrucified flesh. Say, well, I wouldn't give in to that. Well, they didn't think they'd give in to what they gave into in Florida, but they gave in to it. Other stuff. It's all the same breed of sensationalism. You don't understand. When God's glory releases, so does that other release. It comes to counterfeit the glory. When we're swimming in the glory, we have to have eyes wide open. The revelation of the Son is huge. Look at verse 53. Who have received the law by the disposition of angels. So they have a lot to do with the releasing revelation of the law to Moses. That's what he's referring to in Hebrews there. So go back to Hebrews. Just wanted to show you that. Hebrews 2, verse 2. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receive a just and recompense of reward, He says, look, if the law was given by the disposition of angels, and every transgression and disobedience receive a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, if we neglect by letting slippage, which was first began to be spoken by the Lord. See that? God speaks through the Son. And was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Say, that's me. And he's talking about disciples there, but I've heard him. I've heard the Holy Spirit speak of the revelation of the Son, which was the right hand of God and the bosom of the Father. And so guess what's coming? Guess what God confirms? The message. Guess what he's going to confirm in the last hour? The message. The message was not that you were come and you were a sinner saved by grace. The message was God reconciled you through the cross all the way to the Father. The message was not to get someone saved and leave them at the cross. The message was to get them through the cross all the way into the right hand of God, all the way into the bosom of the Father as living stones to be set in their place in the heavenly tabernacle, set in alignment with the chief cornerstone so God could fill the temple. And when he filled the temple into the right hand, it released into the earth. That was the message. We missed that part. Not now. How shall we neglect so great a salvation? First began to be spoken by the Lord after and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. I'm one of them that heard him. Everyone say, I am of them that heard him. God also bearing us witness with signs, wonders, divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost. Listen, signs, wonders, and miracles, the demonstration, the confirmation, and the witness of this word, when it comes, will fill this place automatically. That will come by way of a commission. When that commission comes, when's the commission coming? I don't know. If God tells you, come tell me. Because I'm waiting on it. We're going to get a commission. Commission is a much higher operation in the realm of the gifts. Do you understand that? The commission will bring a level of demonstration. It will get the attention of the world itself. The gift realm does not get the attention of the world, only the church. That's why nobody's hardly getting attention. But the level of miracles that will come with a commission, why does God do that? Because he wants to tell the world, this is what I'm saying to you. This is what I'm saying to you, so I bring the confirmation and the testimony that no man can do on the earth, so you'll know that God's speaking from heaven. I'm saying I want you to come up into the right hand. That's the message. When that level of miracles comes, you don't have to have a church growth program. You don't have to have a roundtable discussion on how to get people in your church. You don't have to study the seeker-friendly model. You don't do any of that. You will not have a place big enough to hold the multitudes. Jesus did nothing without demonstration. The multitudes and the miracles were always running together. If he came and preached this message without miracles, nobody would have listened to him. In fact, he said, if you don't believe what I say to you, then believe the works, because they testify I'm speaking on the behalf of the Father in heaven. He's doing the works. We'll do it again too, but we'll come in his name, speaking the same message that he had, but we do it in his name, bearing his name, speaking the message of the Father. God has come to reconcile the world out of the dominance of the world system, all through the cross into the right hand. To sit with the Father on high. To rule and reign with him. I'm not talking about just miracles too, I'm financial demonstrations too. The world's getting ready for the financial demonstrations of God, because when the world's financial system starts toppling and shaking, God's will come in. And he'll show them how he does it. through his people. Oh, I thank God, Father, you've given us the message. We prize it above all else. We prize what you've given us, this great inheritance to sit with you in heavenly places. As Jesus, you would share your throne as a joint heir. We as joint heirs with you. I got to share this part. Hebrews 2 and 5, a lot in the Hebrews in there. Verse 5, for unto the angels has he not put in subjection the world to come. He said to the Son, sit here on my right hand until I make all thine enemies thy footstool. Chapter 1, not one to the angel. He never put that subjection. He's still supporting his position. For one in a certain place testified saying, now here's what we opened with, Psalms 8. Now, I want to look at Psalm 8 again because I want you to see something about Psalms 8 after viewing this. This is a revelation. Now look at this. Stay with me here because you'll learn something here. Praise God. For one in a certain place, and he's talking about Psalms 8, he could have just said that. Said, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Now, he's speaking of Messiah now. Now, I want you to put your finger here in chapter 2, in the opening of Psalms 8, and I want you to see something. We're going to read in both translations. I want you to see something about dominion. Dominion doesn't get released until you get in position. See, it took the revelation, the new. Okay, watch this. Verse 7, thou madest him a little lower than the angels, crowned him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of thy hands. Now look at Psalms 8, verse 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man thou visitest him? Thou made him a little lower than the angels, and crowned him with glory and honor. Set him over the works of thy hands. Look at verse 6 in Psalms 8. Thou madest him have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Where was dominion? It wasn't until everything was put under his feet. It wasn't while he was made a little lower than the angels. Dominion doesn't get released until you get in position. Now, I'll explain this to you. You couldn't get this in Psalms without the revelation of the New Testament. The dominion was lost. God never reassigned it, but man gave it up. Enemy stole man's dominion, but God restored it. But when he restored it, he had to bring you into a higher place to release dominion again. I call this the dominion mechanism. When you get seated, dominion gets released. When you're unseated, nothing happens. Now watch this. Go back over to Hebrews 2. Verse 6, one in a certain place testified, what is man, saying, thou art mindful of him, the son of man, thou visitest him. Verse 7, thou madest him a little lower than the angels. When did he make the son lower than the angels? When he was born, they were worshiping him. When he was in the garden, he said, could I not call my father now to bring me 6 legions of angels? 72,000 angels and deliver me? I'm like, why can't I do that? Now I'm going to tell you something. You have the authority to ask the Father for that. Why don't they come? Because you're out of position. When you're functioning as a man, they don't respond. When you're functioning as a son in the right hand, they'll respond immediately. When you're functioning as a man, you're lower. You're a dual citizen. When you're functioning as a man, you can bind all of heaven down to an earthly operation. If you're trained to do things the world's way, even though you're a dual citizen with access to heaven and the rights to exercise dominion from the right hand, when you're operating in natural citizenship as a mere human being, heaven gets bound because you bind the whole thing to an earth system. But when you stop all that, ascend into the right hand, all the authority of heaven responds to you as a son because you're seated with the Son in the right hand, and all the angelic hosts will start releasing on your behalf. That's why we got to get up there. Look at the church, how it's trying to win the world by looking like them. Put some personality up there. That is not going to harvest the nations. It binds the operation of heaven because we are operating like mere earth creatures, more like flesh creatures. It's not going to release. God, come down, come down, come down. Go up, go up. If you're calling on God for another visitation, those don't last. Visitation is that. God comes into the door, says hi, serves you up a dinner, and then goes back to where his home. What's he doing? Saying, visitation, I'm not here anymore. I'm going back to my home. Where did you go, God? Where I live. Would you like to come and sit with me where I live? You see how important this message is? Look at this, verse 7, thou madest him a little lower than the angels. When? At the second he began to take the cross upon himself, he became a man like you. He took your position. He was made lower than the angels because we were made lower than the angels. But something dramatically and dynamically happened right there. When he took upon the sufferings of man, as soon as he stepped into man's shoes and went to the cross, he was made lower than the angelic host of heaven. He relinquished his position of the right hand. Being with the Father, he relinquished it and came down into our level. He came down in our level not for his benefit. He came down in our level for our benefit so he could take all of us up above and seat us where he is, back above the angelic, not only the second heaven, but the third heaven as well. The angelic structure of the third heaven, he was going to seat us above it. Who are we that we should be called the sons of God? Don't ever think you're not worthy to sit there. Not ever. Jesus paid a mighty price for you to sit there. It doesn't matter what you think or feel about it. You are a forever perfected being that has the very right to sit with the Father in the Holy of Holies, because Jesus presents you faultless. And if you don't feel like it that day, you're dishonoring the cross that perfected you and gave you the right to sit there. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crowned him with glory and honor. See, when you raised him back up, you set him over the works of thy hands, and then the dominion released. See, and then the dominion of Psalms 8 released. The dominion of Psalms 8 does not release in our humanity. It releases in that position we have as sons of God sitting as joint heirs, and it releases when we're in position. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Verse 8, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. This is now where he's already went through the cross into hell, and God raised him up and put everything under his feet. Everyone say, hooray. Guess what? He took you up there with him. You ascended up there with him. You were buried with him and raised with him. He raised you into a brand new structure of authority. Even the angelic hosts now are made your ministers. I wish I'd have known this 20 years ago. For in that he had put all things subjected unto him, he left nothing that is not put under him. Now, you got to understand, when this says this about him, it's saying about you, because God sat him at the right hand and he took you with him. Why did he come in the first place? He was already there. He had already held the highest place before he came. He was made lower than the angels on your behalf. He went back to where he was before. Father, I come back to where I was with you before the world was ever was. There was no higher place. He already held it. The mystery of it is he came and got you and brought you all the way up there. Even your original creation didn't have that operation. Now you have been set in the highest place. That is awesome. But now we not see all things put under him. That's talking about your body. When you get a glorified body, all death will be brought into subjection. Verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower of the angels, a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. When he went to the cross, he relinquished his position. Crowned with glory and honor, got it back. For by the grace of God should taste death for every man, and it became him for whom are all things, by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect. He was a perfect captain. He was able to lead you into glory with the Father, from dust to glory, while the enemy went from glory to dust. Woo! Run over to Ephesians real quick. Ephesians 1. Man, who are we? Who are we? You kind of know these things, but when the Word shows it to you, you know, it's like, I kind of knew that, but I didn't know it. Verse 18. Praise the eyes of your understanding. 1 and 18. Be enlightened. What's he going to be enlightened to? The right hand. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. What's his calling? What was his purpose? To get you to the Father. Into the right hand. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints. He has a great inheritance in you. Especially if he can get you the right hand. What is exceeding greatness of his power to us, were to believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and sat him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality. This is not only demonic principality, angelic principality as well. All principality, all power, all might, all dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but that which is to come, and put all things under his feet. Does he have a high place or what? I'll submit to you, he had that before he ever started. He had that before he even came here. So why did he come? It was for his benefit. He already had it. Father, I come back to the place I had with you before. He came here to bring you and give you freely the highest ranking place in the universe, to sit with him at the right hand of the Father, raise you above demonic principalities and angelic principalities. You have the highest rank ever. If you want promotion, you got to get into the right hand. You won't be promoted by a little flesh creature on the earth. He does not promote flesh creatures. He promotes the Son in you. When the Son gets seated, dominion will release. The angelic host will respond. Why? Because you're seated above them. Look at this. When you're operating in the natural as a flesh creature, the angelic hosts are above you. Do you understand that? How can they respond to authority when you have submitted your authority under them? When you get raised into the right hand and you sit down, guess where they are now? Under authority. Now they'll respond because you're in the position of authority for them to respond to. You see that? When you get out of position, the kingdom doesn't work. When you're in position, the dominion mechanism releases and starts working. Man, that's good. Makes me want to go home and run to the right hand. Don't lose this. Ephesians 2 and 6, by the way, you were sat there. You know that. When he set him, he set you down. Hebrews 2 and 11. For both he that sanctifieth, that's Christ, and they who are sanctified are all of one now. You sit in the same place. Wow. For which cause he's not ashamed to call you brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church, I'll sing praise. Again, now he's going to start talking about your position. Watch this. I'll put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God has given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Now watch this, that through death, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that was the devil, so he could relinquish and release the bonds of spiritual death from your life. So verse 16, verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took upon him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people, so he could bring you all the way to the Father, and you could share the status of a joint heir in Christ. When you're in position, the dominion and the kingdom works. When you're out of position, nothing works. Let's give him a hand. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Glory to God. Oh, my goodness. My goodness, my goodness. There's not going to be very many more days that we're going to be releasing revelation that demonstration will not show up. They begin demonstrating the Father's message to the nation. Amen. Father, thank you for your mighty word. Thank you for this great inheritance, Father. I pray, Father, that one person here will lose that. Not one will lose it, Father. Not one will lose it. But the fruit will come forth from the right hand. Get us all in position, Father. Everyone say, Father, position me. Get me positioned to rule and reign in dominion.